beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hand, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship him. Let us kneel and bow down before him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by his infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and Merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. this evening is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, beginning with the fourth verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Here ends the lesson.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your holy word by which you have revealed to us your grace in the presence of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you also for the gift of Christian parents and Christian homes where this wonderful word might be impressed upon our hearts. And we pray that you would stir up our hearts as well to pass on the wonderful truths of salvation in your word to our children. We pray it all in Christ's saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, blessed Epiphany to all of you. When I was in high school, our Phi Ed instructor was a rather fit man himself and seemed to take his Phi Ed training rather seriously. He would often challenge some of us in certain sports one-on-one. If we could beat him, we would get an A. And he not only spoke to us and talked to us about physical fitness, but he showed us what it meant, even in his middle age, to be physically fit. That had a certain impression upon us. I often wonder what it would be like to have a rather overweight Phi Ed instructor who maybe is best seen out in the alley with a Marlboro in his hand and possibly his tummy spilling out of his shirt. We completely understand the concept of teaching by example, don't we? And we especially think of that when it comes to children and to how we can have an impact on the lives and hearts of little children. To be able to demonstrate what we want to teach them as truth is just as important as the words that we say, if not more so. Teaching by example. And this is true even more so when it comes to spiritual matters in the home and the role of Christian parents. God would not only have you as future parents, I hope and pray all of you get that opportunity someday. God would not only have you lead your children to Christ, but he would have you lead your children in Christ and with Christ. Being Christian parents is a very wonderful task. At the same time, it is a very challenging one, and it is of the utmost importance to bring up our children in the knowledge of their Savior. This week, we tend to focus on that in the first week after the Epiphany of our Lord. When we think of the child Jesus in the temple and so on, it reminds us of the importance of bringing children and youth up in the Word of God. I have concerns for your generation, for my children's generation, if you will, as far as them being parents, and then for the generation of your children that will be coming, in essence, my grandchildren's generation. Bringing children up in the knowledge of God and His will is always challenging in this wicked world where there is so much to oppose that truth. The words of our text tonight were given by God to Moses to speak to the children of Israel roughly 1,500 years before Christ as they were making their way on the great exodus out of Egypt back to the promised land. And on the way, they would pass by various tribes and peoples that had some very strange and bizarre practices of worshiping their gods. Some of them were rather attractive because it included a lot of hedonistic and sexual pleasures and so on. And many of their young people were being caught up and drawn away and kind of sucked away into some of these other tribes that they went by. And so the Lord now, through Moses, sets down this specific command to make sure to impress his will and his teachings, his truth of his word, on the hearts of their children. And that certainly was a challenge for those in Moses' day, as it was later at the time of Christ, as we read similar words in the words of the apostles and so on. It's been a challenge for every generation of believers to make sure to teach this to their children so they hold on to it. But I think in many ways, as this world, as our Lord says, gets more and more evil and more false teaching permeates the world, I think this challenge is even more pointed for you as future parents. And especially in the culture that we're in, where materialism and greed is just the rule of the day, where there's so much to captivate young hearts and minds, to draw them away from heavenly things back to earthly things. And likewise, the immorality of our culture that continues to decline and slide away from the things of God's truth. For anybody to try to uphold that and live inside of the moral principles that God would give his children for their lives in this world, how difficult and challenging that becomes, even for the most faithful of Christians, because of all the temptations that are around us. And your children are going to face that even more so. We sometimes hear sociologists talk about our youth culture here in the United States and how true that is. And if you think about the principles of the youth culture that we live in, so much of it is a pointed attack directly at this Christian faith that we love, mocking it, making fun of it, ridiculing it, and making sure that anybody who holds on to it in some way would feel humiliated by the masses. A number of years ago, I was back in my family's root country of Norway, and I was in the city of Bergen, Norway, over on the west coast, and there's an old church there that was built in the 1100s, beautiful old church, and I went inside of it, and there was a pamphlet on the congregation that is still there, roughly 1,000 members or so, and this church used to have 6,000 or 7,000 members in it, but now it's been dwindling, it said. And it was interesting to note in the little paragraph about the present-day congregation, it said that about 85% of the people that are now members of that church are over 75 years old. How just in a couple generations, the truth of God's word has just withered away and is dying in the Scandinavian countries. And it is just rampant over there. A lot of people predict that the United States is usually about 75 years behind that part of Europe. So that means all the more how difficult the challenge is going to be for you as Christian parents in the years ahead. So God would have us heed these words, take them to heart, because in these words he gives us the very answer. And it takes place right inside of our homes and our churches. He talks about leading our children in every aspect of family life. If you look at these words from Moses, he says, take these words of mine, teach them diligently to your children. He doesn't just say once in a while, diligently, Hebrew word that implies often and frequently. And then he says, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Notice how thoroughly it is to permeate your parenting. I remember one of my seminary professors said to me one day after chapel years ago, you know, it's hard for me to think of a single part of my life where God's word doesn't have something to say about it. And how true that is. The word of God just thoroughly permeates every aspect of human life. Dr. Paul Kretzmann, an old Missouri Synod theologian, once wrote this when it came to teaching children and to making sure to imprint God's word into them when they're young. He said, impress God's word upon them while they are still in the plastic state. I like that. The plastic state. When it can still have an imprint on them and on their hearts. You can tell how important family devotions are by how many ways the devil tries to keep us from having them. You can tell that he knows it's a pretty powerful weapon to have God's word in our homes with our children by all of the ways he can distract us from thinking that that is important. And I'm no different. As we place the word of God into the lives of our children on a day-to-day basis, God would have us, in doing so, keep them heavenly-minded and heavenly-focused. The purpose of this precious faith that we have been given that connects us to Christ our Savior is not morality, though it certainly speaks a lot about our morality. But the target, the goal, the focus of our faith is not to make moral citizens in our country. That's a wonderful byproduct if it happens. But the goal is to keep them with Christ their Savior through repentance and faith so that someday they can enjoy the mansions of heaven. And so God would have us sprinkle this into our daily conversations. With your children someday, talk with them about how important God's word is in your life. Talk with them about the purpose of your very life, why God even lets you be here in this world, and why he hasn't taken you to heaven already. Talk to them about why they were baptized and what that means. Tell them the importance of the Lord's Supper and the role that it plays in your spiritual life. God has designed home life in a very special and unique way. It's different than any other institution on earth. And it has the potential to have an impact on a child in a different way than anything else that there is in the world, even school. Let me demonstrate that to you. About 10 years ago, the Wisconsin Synod did a study. Maybe some of you have heard me refer to this. The Wisconsin Synod did a study on young people who are now in their late 20s, who are young adults, but people that had gone through at least 12 years of formal Christian education in their schooling system. And they selected people based on what their pastors told them. They selected people who had grown up with that schooling, but who had also belonged to families where they were delinquent members at church. So in other words, they were not going to church, but they were going to school in a Christian school every day. And when they went then and looked at these individuals as adults in their late 20s, early 30s, what they found was this, that despite the fact that they had been in a Christian school every day for 12 years of their life, it had virtually no impact on their worship life. Almost all of them were delinquent. The point is that when there is a lack of Christian modeling by the parents, that tends to nullify the great benefits and effects of the Word of God. It has a way of sucking the power out of it when we as parents don't also model that to our children. I remember giving a Bible class years ago on aspects of parenting, and a middle-aged father came up to me one day and he said, "I heard this from an old guy and I think it's a great way to put it." He told me that Christian parenting is like having a rope between you and your child. And if you have a rope between you and someone, you can't push them to do anything with it. But if you turn and pull them and lead them, they can follow you with it. That's a great way to think of our Christian parenting. God doesn't want you to simply, in the future, doesn't want you to simply tell your children about how important repentance is. He wants you to show them in your own life, through your own heart. He doesn't want you to simply speak to them about how important it is to study the Word of God, but he wants them to be able to see that in you as well. Likewise, with your prayer life, with your focus on heaven, with your giving to the Lord, with your support of the mission of the church, don't just make it words to your children. Let them see this as an active part of your spiritual life. When I was a little boy and our family was on vacation, and if it ever happened that we weren't able to be at a church, which was pretty rare, but once in a while, my dad would make sure to bring along hymn books, and we would have family church, sometimes right in the car. And that made quite an impression on me about how important this was. God has especially given this responsibility of leadership to Christian fathers. Not that the role of the mother isn't also of great importance. But God places the greatest burden of responsibility on the shoulders of the Christian fathers. And you young Christian women, when you are selecting a spouse, think of this first. Who can I possibly marry that will help me someday lead my children to Christ and with Christ? I had a lady come to me years ago and tell me her child was now in confirmation, but he wouldn't come to church at all, her son. And her husband had never been a member of the church. And she told me, you know, my pastor was right. About 18 years ago, she said, he told me that if my husband wasn't going to church before I married him, he probably wouldn't afterward. And now, she said, I'm living to regret that decision. Each generation, in our own way, must take this precious truth that God has given us, this wonderful message about Christ, the wonderful hope of heaven that we have through his means of grace. Each generation must take that and by the work of the Holy Spirit, make it our own inside of our own hearts and lives. Let us not falsely assume that just because we grew up in good Christian homes with nice Christian parents and we have a great Christian pedigree, that somehow it's going to just automatically happen for us. Let's pay attention to the ways that God would have us put this into application in our day-to-day lives. For our children someday, let us make coming to worship and sitting at the feet of Christ and receiving the sacrament, let us make all of that a non-negotiable matter for them. Just think how wonderful it is that God in his grace has reached down into this mass of humanity and by the work of the Holy Spirit has grabbed you and me by our hearts, has led us to see our sins and the need for the great forgiveness we have of all of them in Christ. And that he now stirs up our hearts to want to go and spread this wonderful truth to others. But especially may we pay attention to those who are the closest around us and someday in our arms and at our feet. May God bless all of you in the future as Christian parents. I look forward to meeting your children in heaven. Amen.